Good morning. It's nice, isn't it? It's a beautiful day, December, almost January. Beautiful sunshine. Yeah, we know in the world there's still a little darkness, isn't there? Uncertain times in America, the world. There's one constant we have, and that's Jesus Christ. There's one constant we have, is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That dwells in us. It's a beautiful thing to know. Even though the sun is out, it's still dark out there sometimes, isn't it? Praise God. Praise God for Jesus Christ. We had an attendance of 41 today in our service. I don't know about you, but our class, we're having a good time going through it. We appreciate all the teachers and that take the time to, study the Word of God and share it with us. You know, there's a song that's called, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. I'm Going to Let It Shine. Are we to hide it under a bushel? It says what? No. We're to let it shine. And the great commission that Jesus Christ himself gave us was going to the world, preaching the gospel. Do we take it from ourselves, just for ourselves when we come to church and understand what like-minded people think, Christians like us, or do we take it out into the world, to our workplaces? I'm asking us to all challenge ourselves to do that. Like I said, the sun's out, but it's still a dark world. Amen. Oh, we have some birthdays today. I saw you put your head down, young lady. You might as well get up here. Katie Ragman Bradbury. Come on, girl. And Miss Crystal Jones.
I'm glad I have a birthday,
buddy. All right.
I'd like you guys to
thank you. Yes, they coordinated that.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Kind of went out of the way. I wanted to make sure Katie knew that I remembered her birthday. And Crystal, too. Okay, today at 12 o'clock, there's a special business meeting Tuesday morning at 8:30. We have the morning prayer meeting. And I don't know if I should say, if somebody wanted to be added to that, I'm pretty sure that could happen, couldn't it? Yes, so. It's all done by phone, and people pray. And as a matter of fact, could you come and explain it, Deanie, how that you've been doing that? People might want to be involved with that.
Okay. Well, by kind of... It just seemed to work out to where I ended up being the one to do the calling right now. But we just do a phone prayer meeting that we have. And so at 8:30 Tuesday morning, I just start calling and adding a caller until we've got everybody on our little conference call. And it's really a joy to get to do. So if there's anyone who is interested, who would like to join us, feel free to give me a call and or text and let me know. Or I guess that's probably the easiest. And you can just see me after church or something. I can get you my number.
Thank you. Thank you. And Wednesday we have a deacons meeting at 6 p.m. and then the prayer meeting at 7. And Friday's Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas celebration. It's good to see your faces. God bless you and may keep you. Brother Jim, wait a minute. You want to give a walk?
Good morning. So it has come to our attention that we need to look at the bylaws and go over them. We have been neglected to look at those on the proceedings that we're going through. So the special business meeting today will be postponed until further notice as we get everything together. And as the chairman of the trustees, I'm going to ask, we've asked Josh to fill the pulpit until we go further on to get our nominating committee for the pastor search and everything else that we're doing. We also ask Brother Ron to fill in also. And that's coming from the trustees. Any questions? The bylaws will be sent out. Jill's going to go ahead and email those out to everyone so we can all look at them and go through it. And we'll have some printed copies at the back also later, probably next weekend. Are you going to do it today? Okay. We'll have a few at the back, but you'll get an email saying that being able to look through them. And we've just been neglected to, on our bylaws, to do what the Lord needs us to do. And I apologize for that. And we need to repent to the Lord of it also, because we need to be following what our bylaws say and what the Lord has brought us in. We just haven't been doing that. So, okay. Anything else? Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We have guests in the house. Trista and Jacob and Lauren, welcome. It's good to have you all today. They are friends of Heidi and I's. Her husband Jeremy and I coached a baseball team together for several years. He coached and I tagged along with him most of the time. But friends from way back, welcome. Good to have you all. Deborah, is that your daughter? Just walked in. Welcome. And Mr. Murr, welcome back. Any other visitors? All right. Oh, yeah, there. Is that Tommy, I think? Tommy and Nell, welcome. Glad you all are here. Well, greet one another, and we'll continue our worship.
Chosen scripture from the book of Malachi, third chapter. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight him. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. We know who the purifier is, don't we? His name is Jesus Christ. And although this is the last few days of December and the last few days of Christmas in our hearts should be every day. the best gift ever given was Jesus Christ himself. So as we prepare to sing about Christmas, I hope you kids help me out there. I heard you guys singing the other day. Help us sing on page 192, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Brother Jim, would you come play? You may be seated.
Well, I'm not going to get up on the podium because if I get up there and I start stepping down and I miss my step, I'm going to fall on the head.
Brother,
you're probably asking yourself, why does that guy have a silly patch on? Well, usually on the weekends, if I watch True Grit, Tom Hardy is my example, too, so I have to put it on for True Grit.
Drop one for Hebrew.
Yeah, my Hebrew, there you go. But anyway, all kidding aside, one thing I want to bring out this morning is that anybody that has a prayer request, praying for someone, for your family, for your spouse, for anyone, call the deacons. My number is on the bulletin right now, but there's four of us, Claude, David, and Josh. We covet being able to pray with you. We want to be a part of your life. We want you to be a part of our life. So many times, I have wondered why when there is a deacon and you're assigned to a deacon family that nobody ever calls. You can't imagine how much that makes a person, let alone a deacon, feel when they pray with you. Very uplifting. Very, very uplifting. But anyway, give us a call. We can't solve all your problems, but we can dance your prayer with you. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. For your Son, Jesus Christ, you made it possible that we might have a relationship with you. And Lord, this morning I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time in the past couple of weeks, Lord, that we celebrate your birth. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that you've given each one of us. And Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thank you for being our God. So Lord, just take each one of us and use us in a way that we might glorify your kingdom. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Our hymn of the month is All Is Well. All Is Well, page 204. Know that song until I sang it the first time, and it's one of my favorite songs now. It's a beautiful song, because all is well. Our next hymn is on page 196, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie.
Oh,
turn a few pages over. We'll sing Away in the Manger, page 205. Page 205. Is on page 108. 108. I mean 180. Oh, 180. Sorry about that. They're like, uh-oh, where'd you get that? The First Noel.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we can't say it enough that you gave a perfect gift in Jesus Christ our Lord. I say it again, freely you give, so we should freely give as well, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessing you've given us. All the teachings that you've given us in your word, Lord, but your gifts in themselves. So, Lord, as we give our offerings with gladness of heart, we thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We'll read verses 10 through 20 one more time, and I invite you to stand at the reading of God's Word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us to commit this portion of your word to our memories, that we may be able to stand in the evil day in which we live. We're here this morning, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I ask, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to teach us. Lord, as we just exhale in your presence this morning, I pray that you allow us to center ourselves in your word. Lord, if there's areas of our lives where we are in sin, that you would bring those to our attention. Help us to repent and leave them at your feet. Lord, we ask for power in this service today. May we not just attend a worship service. May we experience your love and your grace and your mercy in our lives. May we feel it. May we worship you through the truth found in your word. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, here we are. We've made it to the final Sunday morning of 2020. I think we can all agree that this year will go down in history as one of the most difficult years of our lives. We've had wildfires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and floods. We've had a pandemic that's ongoing. We've had political tensions. We've had racial tensions. And that's just a few of the things that we've experienced on the world stage. Most of us personally have experienced loss. We've experienced disappointments, betrayals. Some of us have experienced abuse, injuries, lies, addiction, self-doubt, mistakes, grief, anger, anxiety, temptations, and regret. As Frankie would say, it's been a hard winter, hasn't it? It seems like our world is coming apart at the seams, and it's easy for this world to get us down, isn't it? With the constant cycle of bad news. It seems like it's getting more and more important to continually be looking at God's Word and listening to God's Son and keep close to God's people. My hope for us as a church in the year 2021, that we experience the power of God working in us and working through us. No matter what circumstances may come, that our faith is resting on the sure foundation of God's Word and the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's one phrase in this, and I know some of you are thinking, is he ever going to quit preaching on the sixth chapter of Ephesians, verses 10 through 20? But things just keep jumping out at me. I'm sorry. I just can't leave it alone. I think I could probably, if every time I get to preach from here on out, just focus on this, and it would never be the same. Because there's so many deep, deep truths contained in this passage of the Word of God. But there's one point I want to bring out to you this morning, and I think it's applicable to where we're at in this time of year, or at the end of the year, beginning to start a new year. And that's to keep alert with all perseverance, right? that phrase right there in the middle of verse 18. And I have 2 points that I'd like to get across to you this morning. The first one is keep alert. And the second one is with all perseverance, or perseverance to the end. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking, all right, 2 points. We may actually get out of here early this morning. Just have a word of caution for you. Although they're 2 points, they're pretty big points. The first one is keep alert. Other translations of the Bible say keeping watch, or to stay alert, keep your eyes open. There's 2 things that I remember when I was going through rookie school as a firefighter. And I know I've told one of these things to you before, but just bear with me if you've heard this before. But our training chief had this little metal sign that he found at a garage sale or a flea market somewhere that read, "Listen." If you don't listen, you don't hear. If you don't hear, you make mistakes. Mistakes cost money, jobs, and sometimes lives. Listen. He carried it around with him everywhere he went, and for the first couple weeks, he'd flash it out on us, and we had to read it. Well, then he took the sign away, and he said he would come into our classroom, and we all had to stand up at attention, and he'd say, "What's that sign say?" And we'd have to repeat it. I have it up here right now. I can recite it at will. Barrett, I know you're our training chief now. Maybe you want to see if Dennis Beyer has that. You can borrow it from him. The other thing that I remember is it seems like we had to raise ground ladders thousands of times. If we didn't have anything to do, they're like, "Oh, go throw some ground ladders." But every time we did, we had to be in full bunker gear, and we were raising normally a 24-foot extension ladder that's made out of solid aluminum. They're fairly heavy. But every time before you would raise it, you had to look up and yell for overhead obstruction. And if you didn't, there was consequences if you didn't yell overhead obstruction. What's the point? What's the point of these stories? Well, we live in a day and age today that it's too easy not to think for ourselves. We let Google do our thinking for us. And that's not necessarily a bad thing when we're talking about trivial information like how much money does Pat Sajak make, or and the follow-up question, well, what about Vanna? I mean, that's not a big deal. That's not things that need to be in the forefront of our mind at all times. So but when it comes to God's word, it's paramount that we don't have to pull out our phone and do a quick search on how we should properly respond. Why did we have to throw so many ground ladders and yell overhead obstruction? Is that that was ingrained in our minds. Why did he make us memorize that silly sign? Because he was trying to stress the importance of us listening. Staying alert means that we've learned the scriptures. Staying alert means that we know him, because we've hidden God's word in our hearts that we may not sin against him. Keeping alert means that we've memorized portions of God's word so that when the tempter comes, God uses our training to bring to mind overhead obstruction. Or be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So let's look back at our text in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and you can follow along there. It's just going to be it'll probably be a review for most of us, but keep your finger on the text there and think about in verse 10, keep alert that you're being strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Because if you're leaning on your own understanding and your own strength, that doesn't end well for any of us, does it? You won't be able to stand in the evil day in which we live. Keep alert that you've put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand the schemes of the devil. That's the only way we can be victorious. Keep alert that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's not what we're up against. It's not a wrestling match that we can win on our own power. Keep alert that you put on the belt of truth. Align your life with the absolute truth of God's Word. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I told him the longer that I live, the only thing that I accept as absolute truth is what comes from God's Word. I don't know about you, but more and more times you hear this study said this, this study said that, these statistics say this, these statistics say that. You know the old saying, figures lie and liars figure. I think that we can make statistics and facts say whatever we want them to say. But when we stand on the absolute truth of God's Word, we can rely upon it. Amen. Keep alert that you're wearing the breastplate of righteousness, not self-righteousness, the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Keep alert that you're wearing the gospel of peace shoes. We got to wear these shoes with every person that we come in contact with. We as Christians, we must wear these shoes. We must be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within us. We need to wear these shoes in our marriages. Gospel of peace shoes in our marriages? With our friends and our families. I don't know about you, but I needed some gospel of peace shoes this Christmas at our family gatherings. I had some. They weren't ready sometimes, though. At work, with our coworkers, our bosses, and the people that work under us, even random people that we encounter on the street, we needed our gospel of peace shoes need to be ready at all times. There's only one way to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and that's to be alert that you're using the shield of faith. Be alert that you're protecting your mind, which is the control center for your body, with the helmet of salvation. Be alert that you're using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This is a little something extra. When I preached on this a couple weeks ago, I was reading David Jeremiah's book called The Overcomer, speaking of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. He said there's two words in the Greek that they use for the Word of God. One is logos, which is the normal one, and the other one is rhema. The word used in this context is rhema, which means an individual, specific saying of God. So it's not talking about the entire Word of God, even though that's encompassed in it. It means a specific saying. If you remember, we talked about how the Lord Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan after fasting for 40 days, he used the sword of the Spirit with each individual sayings from God that he applied just at the right time and the right context. I'd learned something new this week. I thought I'd share that with you. So the sword of the Spirit is individual sayings of God that are applied in the right context at just the right time. Be alert that we are praying at all times, which is really the context of this word persevering, which brings us to the next point. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, praying at all times with all types of prayers, praying for all the saints, and keep praying. Be on watch and don't forget. persistent prayer that you persevere in. Do we have to persevere in prayer? What does perseverance even mean? Well, you know when you're in it, don't you? Perseverance means continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. The action or condition or an instance of persevering. Synonym for it is steadfastness. Now we can go down through our passage in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 and apply perseverance just as we did staying alert. That wouldn't be a bad exercise. In fact, it would be a good exercise. But because we as true believers must persevere to the end, we also will persevere to the end. But I'd like to look at this perseverance from a different perspective. And the reason why I'd like to look at it from a different perspective is because if the Lord tarries, we have a new year coming this week. Along with the new year will probably come some New Year's resolutions. No doubt, some noble aspirations, hopeful activities. We will all hopefully engage in for the coming year. I haven't set any for myself yet. I normally do. They usually revolve around improving my spiritual health and improving my physical health. Probably common among us. Those are the two areas of our lives that seem to need the most attention most of the time. Thinking of my past performance, my resolutions usually don't make it out of January before slipping back into the normal flow of life. I will most certainly persevere in making some resolutions in hopes that I will persevere in following through with them this year. But I'd like for us to consider the perseverance of the saints. Have you ever thought about why you remain a Christian? There's two schools of thoughts about this doctrine. One is that you, after all, you chose God to begin with. And since you chose Him, therefore you can lose your salvation. In a sense, what that doctrine is teaching is that you can be saved on a Monday, sin, and be lost on a Tuesday, only to be saved or rededicated on a Wednesday, and on it goes. I think we all can remember Pastor Robert's analogy that he would use of this teaching of someone in love taking a flower and pulling the petals off, saying, "He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not." Can you imagine the inner turmoil of always wondering whether or not you're safe in the arms of God? The position that we hold to as Southern Baptists is that salvation from start to finish is the work of God. How does that apply to the perseverance of the saints? Well, let me give you some swords of the Spirit. First, a strong warning, and then the good news. To go through these fairly quickly, so get your sword ready. If you want to have a sword drill, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 is the first one. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. So there we have a warning that we must continue in the faith. The second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. We'll pause after verse 10 and then read verse 11. Verse 9 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God." What are these verses saying? What it's saying is stop lying to yourself. If you persevere in pornography, if you persevere in premarital sex, if you persevere in putting yourself, your hobbies, your job, or anything else in the place that only belongs to God, if you persevere in cheating on your wife or cheating on your husband, if you persevere in wanting things that others have that you really want, if you continue to destroy others with your words, if you persevere in swindling and embezzling for your own financial gain, if you persevere in continuing to do these things, listen to me, you're going to go to hell. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." That's the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took us, filthy sinners, and washed us in the blood of the Lamb. So stop deceiving ourselves. We cannot persevere in these things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, "This saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." Let me just point out quickly that the denial and faithlessness is not speaking of Christians who are weak and struggling. This is permanent denial and lack of saving faith. These are the passages that people who apply that first type of doctrine to the eternal security of the believer, that there's not any, they like to use these passages. And these are very frightening passages, aren't they? It's frightening to those who have made a profession of faith that church camp, or walk down the aisle and never experienced a change. They go about their way living a life that pleases themselves, and there's never a heart change. These passages are extremely frightening to those people because they probably don't know the Lord. These passages are extremely frightening to people who attend church their entire life, who are just like the Pharisees. Outwardly, they look righteous, but inwardly, they were ravenous wolves. Inside, they haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 2:3 says, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Those of you who are using the grace of God for a license to sin. You either do what the Lord Jesus is commanding you to do, or God's Word is telling you you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Oh, that's just my besetting sin. That's just who I am. That's a dangerous way of thinking. There are several more, but for the sake of time, we have to move on. Now, the good news is that the Bible is consistent in teaching that once a person is truly saved, that person is always saved and cannot lose their salvation. We say that they are eternally secure. We call it the perseverance of the saints. Maybe a better term would be the preservation of the saints. How about some swords of the Spirit for that? Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that He who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." That's good news, isn't it? That's preservation right there. John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40, Jesus says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up that last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day." That's good news, isn't it? That's preservation right there. John chapter 10, verse 27, we've quoted this verse often, but we need to be reminded of it frequently. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Is that good news? Are we safe and secure in the arms of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born to a living hope." What's a living hope? Well, some of you are planning on going on some vacations this next year. You have hope that you're going on a vacation, right? Some of you may be planning on purchasing a new house or a new car or going on a fishing trip or a girl's weekend away or a guy's weekend away or a new job or fill in the blank with what you're looking forward to for the next year. You have hope in those things. How's that worked for you in the past? There's time. We're thankful to the Lord that there's times that we enjoy some of the things that He allows us to do, right? It's fun to go on vacation. What's the funnest part about a vacation to you? To me, it's the planning of the vacation, the anticipation of it. It never quite measures up to what I had built up in my head, right? How about the new car? Well, how long is a new car a new car? About 2 weeks, and the new wears off, and it's just a car, right? How about that purse? Think about what you really wanted for Christmas. How long before that hope that you had is no longer living? The point is that we get wrapped up in the here and now so much that we put all our eggs in that basket that, oh, once I get this, I'll finally be happy. When we do that, our hope is not living. Our hope dies with that. When we put our hope and our trust in the living hope that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never disappointed. Because it's continuously living. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, and it's undefiled, and it's unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What that's saying is literally, we as Christians are being shielded or protected by the power of God through our faith. And that's good news. Romans 8 verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not saying you're going to work your way into heaven. It's that get into God's word and understand what you have been saved from and what you're being saved to. For it is God who works in you, verse 13 of Philippians 2, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25 says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, be majesty, be dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So there's some swords of the Spirit that make it plain that we're safe in the arms of God. But the question comes up all the time, well, what about those that claim to be Christians? And maybe they were even pastors. Maybe they had a scandalous affair and they walked away from the faith and now they have nothing to do with God or the church. And they may even deny God exists. What do we say to that? It troubles all of us, doesn't it? It breaks our heart to hear of such things. We use God's word. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us in order that it might be made manifest that they are all not truly of us. The Bible is also clear that not everyone who professes to be a Christian truly is. Jesus Himself said that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 7:21-22. Rather than proving that we can lose our salvation, those people who profess Christ and fall away simply reinforces the importance of testing our salvation to make sure we are in the faith, like 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, and making our calling and election sure by continually examining our lives to make sure we are growing in godliness. Continually examining our lives to make sure we are growing in godliness. That's what true Christians do. James also exhorts us to persevere under trials, because those who do will be blessed and will receive the crown of life which God has promised in James 1:12. Just as the true believer will be eternally secure in his salvation, his faith will also persevere in affliction and sickness and persecution and the other trials of life that befall all believers. If we desire to live godly lives in Christ, we will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. But the faithful will persevere, kept by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our salvation and who will keep us strong to the end. Persevering so we will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Where are you at this morning? There's other lists like that one I read to you in 1 Corinthians. There's other lists in the Bible. You can compare your life to it. I believe each one of us in here, at some point in our lives, used the grace of God for a license to sin. What do we do with that? We repent and believe. What if you've never embraced the truths contained in Scripture and saw the fact that you're a sinner and you need salvation? We invite you to come. Repent and believe. That's our only hope. After all, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'll close with the words of a hymn titled, Jesus Paid It All. I'll spare you from singing it. I'll just read it to you. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Mike, would you come and lead us in a closing hymn?
What an appropriate message. Could you guys stand and we'll sing page 660. Onward, Christian soldiers. I think that's appropriate for the message we heard today. Thank you, Brother Josh, for that message.
Amen.